Turn with me now, please, to the passage of God's Word that we read together from the Old Testament, from 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. And I want us, with God's help, to consider the words of verse 6. 1 Samuel 30 in verse 6. And we read there, "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because all the people were bitter in soul, each for his sons and daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God." David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. There's an old story that tells how it is that the devil one day decided that he would put the various tools that he had up for sale. And it is that as he did so, that each tool was marked with an appropriate price. Seems that the tools that day consisted of hatred, lust, jealousy, deceit, lying, and pride. And they were there for all who were interested and perhaps had a notion to buying one or if not all of them. But separate from these six, there was another tool that was being sold. It seemed that the price was ridiculously high. It was harmless looking, but it was obvious it had been well used. And for that reason, some commented that the price was too high. But there was an interested buyer amongst the various buyers, and one of them asked Satan and said, "What tool is this?" And Satan replied, "Discouragement, discouragement." The buyer then asked, "Why is it so high?" And listen to how Satan replied, "Because it is more useful to me than the others. I can pry open a man's heart with that when I can't get near to him with anything else. It's so badly worn because I use it on almost everyone, since few people know it belongs to me." And each one of us here today, whether we're Christian or not, watching online, it is that we know something of the truth of what I've just read. It is that perhaps at the moment, in terms of the situation that's been brought about over the past weeks, you find yourself discouraged. Discouraged that you're having to stay at home. Discouraged that you're being separated from family and loved ones and friends. Discouraged that even with the modern technology that we've got, that you're only able to meet over Skype or some such thing. And even if it is that you're not discouraged at the moment, I think that the longer this situation goes on, and if it is that things go from bad to worse, then the temptation comes to all of us who are God's people to be found in that place of discouragement. Now, that itself is something that we think shouldn't be. And yet it is that when we turn to the New Testament scriptures, we find ourselves in good company of someone who had experienced discouragement. If you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8, this is what the Apostle Paul says. "For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received in our hearts the sentence of death." It is, if there's anything that speaks of discouragement, it is the words that the apostle writes to the church in Corinth. And it is that Paul, just before he wrote those words, he tells us the root cause of the discouragement, and that this discouragement really was from outside himself. If you go to verse 8, he says that we don't want you to be unaware of the affliction we experienced in Asia, that it was something that came from out himself and came to him and to his ministry. But the question that I want to ask this morning is this, and to try and bring it into our own day and situation is this. What if your discouragement, if you are discouraged, if you're not discouraged, great. Give God thanks for that. But if it is that you are discouraged this morning, then know that discouragement, what if your discouragement doesn't have its source in COVID-19? What if your discouragement doesn't have its source in terms of the lockdown and the restrictions that come along with the lockdown? And what if it is the case that your discouragement is not in terms even of self-isolation for 14 days or indeed for a month or whatever? What I'm saying is this, how difficult it is if your discouragement is because today you've come to understand that you are where you are in terms of God's providence, far less what's happening in the world, and that you are where you are as an individual in terms of your mood, in terms of your physical situation and so on, that you are where you are because of yourself and because of something that you said or didn't say, because of something that you did or didn't do. In other words, it is that you're in the place of despair and discouragement because of your own willful, stubborn heart. And it is that you know that only too well. You realize that you're reaping the consequences of your sin and that you're responsible ultimately for the mess that you find yourselves in today. Not only that, but the people that you thought were your friends and that you could trust, you thought they always would have your back, it is that they're not just blaming you for the cause of the problem, but it is that they're saying in different ways that you yourself are the problem, and as a result of you yourself being the problem, it is that's why they're having themselves major problems. How is it that you feel if that's your situation or becomes your situation? Well, that's why it is that what we read in 1 Samuel 30 and verse 6 is so applicable to us at this time. Again, read what the writer speaks of concerning David. David was greatly distressed. Why? No wonder. The people spoke of stoning him because all were bitter in soul, each for his sons and daughters. As far as they were concerned, the problem and the reason that they now find themselves in this distressing situation was because of the fact that they had followed David, that it is that they had done everything that he had wanted them to do. And you read, and you're really asking yourself, could it get any worse? David's greatly distressed, no doubt about it. And if it is that you knew that people were wanting to stone you, I think that would be part of your reaction as well. And I think that David was perhaps, this incident, it is that he was at one of the very lowest points in his life. Now, what is it that David's life had been up until this point? Because what we find here doesn't come out of a vacuum. And it is that it's got a spiritual application for us that I think is so absolutely vital, though our circumstances and the circumstances that we're considering, that they're centuries, thousands of years between us. Well, David's life up until this point, he'd been a wandering outlaw. It is that he'd been a fugitive. It is that because of the persistent hostility of Saul the king, that David had to flee from his own country and find refuge in Philistine country, the natural enemy of God's people. It is that during that time he gathered around him the cave of Adullam, a band of desperate men, and it is that he's almost like a sort of rebel going about the country at that time. He'd found refuge in a little city of the Philistines far down in the south. And he and his men, at that point, had allied themselves with a contingent of the Philistine army. And it is that they're preparing to attack Saul with the Philistines at this time. But naturally, and as I said at the introduction to the reading, the Philistine generals and lords, they themselves were absolutely horrified when it is that the cohorts of soldiers were even brought before them, that they saw in their midst David and his band of men. And so it is that they're saying, no, he's not coming into battle with us. You got to send him away. Now, what's interesting is that you read there at the end of verse 29 that Achish called David, and it is that Achish, the Philistine, speaks extremely highly concerning the character and the lifestyle of David at this point. And it comes across very much that this Philistine, that he's clearly pained at what it is that he's having to do in sending David home. And so it is that they go home, and then what they find at Ziklag, I can imagine, they can hardly believe what they're seeing. It is that their home is in ruins. It is that there's smoke and flames everywhere. It is that their wives, their families, their children are no longer there. It is that the cattle that was theirs, all the resources that were theirs, they're now no longer there. And what's before them is desolation, an utter desolation. And naturally, the type of characters that David had, they began to rise up against David in mutiny. And that would be dangerous in such a situation because we're told here they're ready to stone him. They're ready to take David out of this scene of time. Now, why is this happening? As I said, this doesn't come out of a vacuum. This doesn't come out of nowhere. Things had been slowly smoldering in David's life, and now it is that this blaze breaks out that nearly consumes him. Why? Well, what's significant and what many of the commentators point to is that this point of time in David's life, that he's probably with Achish and in Philistine territory for about 16 months. And during that 16-month period, there are no recorded prayers of David or Psalms of David that we find during those 16 months. And really what many are of the opinion is that this was a time of spiritual compromise. And it would appear that David, for all those 16 months, that he didn't make God a high priority in his life. But that's about to change. You see, all David and his men were going through really was David's fault. It was David who had entered Philistine territory. It was David who led the raiding parties. It was David who exterminated everyone in their villages. It was David who lied to the Philistine king. It was David who left Ziklag defenseless. And it was David who did it all. No wonder the men are angry. I think you would have been as well. Now we find that David is rejected by the Philistines, he's plundered by the Amalekites, and it is that he's threatened by his own soldiers. And it's all his fault. Think on it. 16 months. And during these 16 months, he'd spent his time living in enemy territory. He'd spent his time pretending to be loyal to the Philistines. He'd spent his time ignoring his conscience. He'd spent his time living by his wits. He'd spent his time doing things his own way. And it is that during those 16 months, it would seem that he was away from God. And as David surveys this scene, and as he considers the response of his men wanting to stone him, David knows deep down that he can't blame anyone but himself. No wonder his men wept. No wonder it was that they wanted to stone him. By his compromise, David has brought about great suffering to everyone who looked to him for leadership. Now, we've got to stop there for a moment before we deal a little bit deeper with the text. Because I think that reading between the lines here, that we're being presented with an enormously important principle that it's work here in terms of David's situation. And it's this: God will not be disregarded by his children. Let me say it again. God will not be disregarded by his children. I think what we're seeing here and the distressing situation that David finds himself in is it's an example of the fact that sooner or later, God calls his children to account for their disobedience. In other words, no Christian ever gets away with sin. Sooner or later, it is that we all have to face the music. And the reason that David's life has fallen apart is because for 16 months, it seems that David had left God out of his life, that God didn't come first, that God wasn't before him every day. And it is that he was living in his own strength rather than the strength of God. Now, how many of us here today, we know that we're just like David. We know that there have been times when our life, the life of those who live with us, has fallen apart. Why? Because we've left God out of our lives. It is that we've been taken up with the things of the world. It is that we've given God not even second place, but last place in our lives. And because of that, it is that things are not turning out the way that we hoped they would. I'll be honest with you, I think even in terms of COVID-19, that it is that God, the reason that the lives of the people of the world and the nations is falling apart is because so many of the nations, so many of the peoples of the nations basically have left God out of their life. And it is that they have turned their back upon God. And God has said, okay, that's what you want. Go your own way. Wonderful thing is that he's there for us, as David was to experience. But it is something that you need to ask yourself today, wherever you are. Is your life falling apart? And can you really consider that the reason for this is because God is not part of your life? So you say to me, how then can I put my life back together? Well, I think we do what David did. And that's why we're in this text today. How is it that David put his life back together in the midst of distress and danger? Look at what you read there in that last sentence of verse 6. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Now, what does that mean? How is it that we can follow David's example and do the same thing, particularly in the midst of difficult and distressing situations? Well, I want to consider a number of things in the time that's left to us, and I hope these will be blessed to all who are with us today. First thing I think that's part of David's strengthening himself in the Lord is that he encouraged himself in God and not man. He would encourage himself in God and not man. Picture again David's situation. His enemy seemed to have conquered him. Many of his men have been killed. He's greatly outnumbered. His family is captured. And now it appears that he needs help from men. His 600 men, they're not the cream of the crop. Listen to how they're earlier described in 1 Samuel 22 and verse 2. It's all those who are in distress or in debt or discontented, the three D's. And these three D's, I think, are prevalent at this time. Distress, debt, discontent. And perhaps it is that that's the way it is for you today, that because of COVID, you're in distress. Because of COVID, you're in debt. Because of COVID, you're discontented. And these soldiers of David, really, they were the misfits of society. They were the people who couldn't make it in the culture of the day. They were the rejects. They were the losers of the day. They were the dropouts of David's day. But that's not what David thought, that I have to put my trust in men. Listen to what he says in Psalm 20, and we sang that a moment ago, from verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Let's bring it up to date. Some trust in the fact that they've got a bought house and the mortgage is paid. Some trust in the fact that their bank balance is always in the black. Some trust in the fact that their stocks are doing well. Some trust in the fact that it is that they're one of the beautiful people, and it is that everybody takes note of them, whatever they are and whatever they say and do. But David's saying, I don't do that. Even in the midst of distress, what do? He says at the end of verse 20, I trust in the name of the Lord. And then he says, they collapse and fall, but we rise and stand upright. David's a soldier, and he's about very soon to be king over all Israel. He's going to have many horses and chariots to lead into warfare. And it is that there were others who trusted in chariots and horses to win battles. But David knows these things, good as they are, they're of no help whatsoever unless it is that God blesses and that indeed that God is put first. David knew ultimately that the Lord saves not with the sword and the spear, because the battle is the Lord's. David knew that the Lord God with his strength, and he knew that men, even the very best of men, couldn't help him. And so he was convinced that only God could provide real help. And if it was like that for David, it's the same for us today. Only God can provide real help. Why? Because he is our light and salvation. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? That's what's to characterize the church of Christ in these days. That it would say, the Lord is our light. The Lord is our salvation. He's our stronghold. And no matter how bad things become out there, we'll not be afraid. What an encouragement that is to each one of us this morning. All you need to be concerned with this morning is that you're right with God. And if it is that you're right with God, then it is, and I can say on the basis of my experience, my own experience, and of the Word of God, that all will be well. It doesn't matter how strong your enemies or circumstances are if God is on your side. Listen to what Paul writes in Romans 8 from verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? You can add to that COVID-19. You can add to that debt. You can add to that so many things. And then listen to what Paul says later on. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Even COVID-19 can't separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Even all the difficulties that perhaps and the distress that you're knowing of at this moment cannot separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus, but only if this Christ Jesus is your Lord. I was reading in preparation for today of someone who said to his pastor, and I quote, "Emotions have no brains. Emotions have no brains." And it is that while emotions are an enhancement, and we're thankful at times for our emotions, it is that so often our emotions can spin us into a pit of overblown despair. And it is that we need to remember that, that as you face a difficult moment in a relationship, as you face circumstances that seem overwhelming, as you face a personal struggle that's defeating you, that what you need to do is seek the Lord's help to think clearly and embrace the gift that he gives to his people to look beyond the present moment to the possible positive outcomes that are ours in Jesus Christ. In other words, as God's people, we're not to be defined by other people or circumstances. But what we are to do is to understand that our true identity and our true destiny and ultimate destiny was settled 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ was crucified. That as God's people and as God's church, that it is that all that would be ours in our life and throughout lifetime, that ultimately it is if in Christ and even death itself, the last enemy, is defeated. And so I'm saying to you that David saw himself as one who knew of the covenant God and strengthened himself. And you today, I pray, know of Jesus Christ as the one in whom you are able to say my identity and identification is with Christ. So you've got to choose the voice that you listen to. David, in terms of encouraging himself in the Lord, he encouraged himself in God and not man. Second thing is that David encouraged himself, I think, by remembering God's past deliverances. In other words, he thought back over his life. He thought back to the many moments in which it is that he'd been in seemingly intractable situations, and yet it is that God mercifully, graciously, and powerfully brought about circumstances so that his servant, he was saved, and his servant was able to go on. And it's like that for us today. Maybe you've been a Christian just for a few months. Maybe it is that you've been a Christian for decades now. But one of the things that we need to do from time to time, and I think particularly at a time like this, is to encourage ourselves by remembering the ways in which it is that God has delivered us in the past. The way in which it is that he's answered prayer concerning health. The way in which it is that perhaps an accident that could have been, that things so came about that we were spared and given further opportunity to know him. Think of David's confidence that would be his as he thought back to his battle with the Philistine giant Goliath. And the confidence that was his that came from remembering the deliverances. Listen to what you read in 1 Samuel 17 and verse 37. And David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." And I'm convinced that as David encouraged himself in the Lord, David sought to remember of the Lord who did deliver him from the paw of the lion and from the bear, and delivered him from the hand of Goliath. When it is that you feel distressed and discouraged and seek to encourage yourself in the Lord, remember how many times God has delivered you and your loved ones, and you will find encouragement. Third thing is that David encouraged himself through prayer to God. When you read the life of David, one of the things that is very evident is that he was often, although at times, as we see here, it hadn't happened, but the vast bulk of his life, he was in communication with God. And it is that he spoke to God, and it is that he saw prayer as a great source of encouragement, especially in time of trouble. Listen to what he writes in Psalm 34. "I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." Now, do you believe that? Is it something that you rejoice in? Because if not, and if it wasn't David's experience, then we're of all people most miserable. But the encouragement and the direction of God's word to you today is this, that as you seek the Lord, he answers and delivers you from all your fears. That as you cry out in your poverty to the Lord, he hears you and saves you from all your troubles. What's that saying to us about prayer? Well, it's saying to us that prayer assumes the personality of God. Only a person can say "I" or be addressed as "you." Only a person can be an object or the subject of an intelligent action. Only a person can apprehend, can love, can be loved, and only a person can enter into conversation with others. Recent decades, the phrase that seems to be the philosophy and the lifestyle of many is this: may the force be with you. It is that they're living their lives in terms of the Star Wars philosophy and understanding. May the force be with you. But if God and God's name be only a name for an unknown force or for the moral order of the universe, prayer becomes irrational and impossible. See, that's the wonderful thing. God says to his people through the prophet Isaiah, "Come now, let's reason together. Come now, let's talk about it. You've got a problem. And the problem is your sin. And I'm telling you that though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." But the wonderful thing is that it's God who initiates that conversation and says, "Come, I want to talk with you, and I want you to talk to me." And that's what he still says to us today, wherever we are. He's saying, "Talk to me. I want you to talk with me, and I will talk with you. I'll talk with you through my word. I'll talk with you through my people. I'll talk with you through the church. And I will talk with you through the Holy Spirit that indwells you." And that's telling us that prayer makes the assumption that God is near us. He's the high and the lofty one. He dwells in light inaccessible. Yet, as Paul says, in him we live and move and have our being. And when you pray, when I pray, you know these things and you assume that God is near you. That not only is God willing to enter into dialogue with you, but that even our unuttered aspirations are intelligible to this God, and that he knows your thoughts from afar. And it is that you're assuming that he's got personal control over all nature. That's something to hold on to at this time. I was given a verse by Rod, the session clerk, and I think he was given it. It was given to him by his brother-in-law, Gary. And it's a verse from Psalm 75 and 3, and I think we should print this verse out and stick it up in our fridges, the front of the fridge, and it's this. Psalm 75, 3 says, "When the earth totters and all its inhabitants, it is I who keep steady its pillars." God is saying, when the earth totters and all its inhabitants, it is I who keep steady its pillars. The earth is tottering now. Nations are tottering. But it's God who keeps steady the pillars. So David encouraged himself in God, not man. David encouraged himself by remembering God's past deliverances. David encouraged himself through prayer to God. And David encouraged himself by knowing God was in control of his life. Let me say it again. He encouraged himself by knowing that God was in control in his life. David had learned to trust God and had peace regardless of the outcome. He didn't blame God for putting him in allowing him to be in a bad situation. Listen to what he says in Psalm 31 and verse 15. My times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from my persecutors. My times are in your hand. And the Hebrew word that's translated there is times. It's not to do in terms of the clock or from a chronological aspect, but it's the aspect of time that is in view with regard to an event or a season of life. And it's speaking about things that come into your life, things that you never could anticipate. I mean, how many of us could have anticipated the situation we're in now? But David, through the Spirit, is saying to us, Lord, even this time is in your hands. Even when I'm alone in my own home, even when I'm frightened, Lord, even when it is that I'm wondering, how am I going to pay my mortgage? How am I going to put food on the table? Even when it is that you feel yourself perhaps in danger of slipping into a depression, David says to us, remember, your times are in his hand. In other words, David is saying, Lord, you're sovereign over my circumstances, even when I can't see your planning and your purpose in it. So we're being told that God doesn't just rule over cosmic time and history, but God is a God who is personal to our lives, who actually rules and overrules the times and the seasons, the fortunes and the events of our individual lives. So then, what's the application? Well, it's this. Uncertainty in life can bring much distress and discouragement. There's no doubt about it. But the application is this. It is when life is most chaotic and full of trouble that we most need hope and assurance from God. Let me say it again. It is when life is most chaotic and full of trouble that we most need hope and assurance from God. And you say to me, how do I do that? You do what David did. He strengthened himself in the Lord in the midst of the chaos and the trouble that was his at this point. And it is that he knew of God encouraging him. Look at the next verse. David said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Ahimelech, bring me the ephod and so on. And it is that as David encourages himself in the Lord, he turns from the situation that he's in, he turns to the Lord, and it is that he now again is back in fellowship with the Lord, and he understands and knows the empowering presence of God. You see, when we're discouraged, it's common to turn to other people, it's common to turn to the television, it's common to turn to the internet or some kind of escape. But what we have to do is to take time, focus on the Word of God, and pursue the presence of God through prayer and His Word. In the days to come, particularly if you're prone to discouragement, remember these words. David strengthened himself in the Lord his God, and may that be your experience now and for the rest of your days. Amen. Let's seek God's face in prayer. It is, our Father, that we thank you for your word, in particular the Old Testament, because your people, our brothers and sisters of old, are presented to us in the midst of the nitty-gritty of life. And it is, Lord, that while we may not have been in a situation where there are people who want to stone us, yet it is, metaphorically perhaps, that has been the case. Things we have said, things we have done, things that we have left undone. And it is that we have raised the hackles of our brothers and our sisters, and they are tempted to want nothing but negative things for us. We pray then, Father, that we might follow David's example and that we would strengthen ourselves in you, the covenant-keeping God. We pray particularly for any today, wherever they are, who are with us watching, if they are facing a distress and difficulties and danger, we pray that they might, with your help, do as David did and strengthen themselves in you. So, Father, go with us with what remains of this your day. Keep us and our loved ones, wherever they be, safe and from harm. And these things we ask with the forgiveness of sin in Jesus' name. Amen.